Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Okay, today we're digging into something pretty significant out of South Africa, this big framework for gender responsive planning, budgeting, monitoring, evaluation, and auditing.
Yeah, GRPBMEA. It's quite the acronym.
Definitely. So what's the mission here? Why this massive framework now?
Well, the name kind of hints at the scope, right? It's really presented as an urgent strategic move. The goal is basically to tackle what some sources are calling a gender recession.
Gender recession.
Yeah. And, you know, to finally start dismantling these really deep-seated gender inequalities that persist even after decades of democratic progress in South Africa.
And the stats really back up that urgency, don't they? I was looking at figures, something like close to 42% of women living below the lower bound poverty line compared to 38% of men.
Exactly. And it's not just poverty. Look at economic power. Women are still hugely underrepresented in top management, only about, what, 22.9% in designated employers?
That's stark. It shows how policy and, crucially, how money is allocated directly impacts real lives. So, okay, let's unpack it. What is this GRPBMEA trying to do differently?
So at its heart, it's about making gender mainstreaming like a core part of the entire public finance system, not just an add-on.
Okay.
And the bit people often hear about is gender-responsive budgeting, or GRB.
Right, GRB. Now, it's important to be clear here. This isn't about creating separate pots of money just for women, is it?
Absolutely not. That's a common misconception. GRB means ensuring that the general budgets, the main government budgets, are planned, approved, and spent in ways that actively work to eliminate existing gender gaps. It's about how all the money is used.
I think that clarification is crucial. And it strikes me this isn't framed just as a social justice issue, but there's a strong economic argument being made too.
Oh, definitely. If you look at the bigger picture, research from bodies like the IMF and World Bank is pretty clear. Reducing gender inequality is actually vital for inclusive economic growth.
There so.
Well, think about it. Things like women not participating fully in the labor force, not using everyone's skills optimally, it costs economies billions in lost potential growth every year. So investing in gender equity, it's essentially investing in a stronger economy for everyone.
Okay, so if the economic case is there and the, let's say, moral case is clear, why the need for this huge GRPBMEA framework now? What wasn't working before?
Well, the core problem identified seems to be weaknesses in really embedding gender mainstreaming within government institutions. There wasn't enough capacity, maybe not enough consistent political will across the board.
So policies ended up being
often gender blind, meaning they just ignored gender differences altogether. Or sometimes even worse, gender negative, unintentionally making inequalities worse because the planning didn't consider different impacts on men and women.
And that disconnect really shows up in the data, right? I saw an analysis of the government's strategic framework from 2014 to 2019.
The MTSF.
Yeah. Yeah. It showed that only, what, 7% of the indicators actually mentioned gender explicitly.
Only 7%. Think about that. Indicators are what get measured. And what gets measured is what gets funded and focused on.
So if 93% of the government's key performance indicators don't track gender,
then there's no built-in requirement for most government spending to even consider, let alone address, gender outcomes. It's a massive gap.
And GRPBMEA aims to fix that.
Exactly. The framework wants to shift things fundamentally from being largely gender blind to becoming gender transformative.
What does transformative actually mean in practice then? Is it just about targets?
It's deeper than just targets, like hiring quotas. Transformative policy tries to actively change the underlying power structures and norms that cause inequality.
Can you give an example?
Sure. So instead of just aiming to hire more women drivers for public transport, a transformative approach might redesign bus routes to be safer for women traveling late, improve lighting at stops, maybe adjust schedules, things that tackle the barriers women face.
Okay, I see. It's about changing the system itself.
Yes, and institutionalizing that thinking across the whole policy cycle, planning, budgeting, M&E, even auditing at the end.
And this brings us back to why past efforts, like the Women's Budget Initiative, maybe didn't have lasting impact. They lacked that deep institutional anchoring.
Precisely. That seems to be the key lesson. Sustainability needs full institutional buy-in. It can't be voluntary or mainly driven from outside government. It has to be mandatory system-wide.
Led by the core departments.
Yes, crucially, led by the Department of Women, but working hand in glove with the National Treasury, who hold the purse strings, and the Department of Planning, Monitoring, and Evaluation, the DPME, who handle the measurement side. That integration is meant to make it stick this time.
So fundamentally, this framework is positioned as a core strategy, not just for gender equality, but for achieving the constitutional vision of a non-sexist society and unlocking that gender dividend we talked about.
It is, which actually leads to a final thought for you, our listener. Given this huge ambition moving from often gender-blind policies to actively gender-transformative ones, where do you think the first big push should be? If they need a tangible early win to show this mandatory approach works, which area, maybe education, health, economic opportunities, safety, needs that first properly resourced gender-transformative budget allocation to really prove the concept? Something to think about.